this morning. A perfect sacrifice equals a perfect saint. A perfect sacrifice equals a perfect saint. Look there in verse 1, look what it says. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. There's people that's not perfect. Now look down here in verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's some that aren't perfected. And over here, they are. And what makes the difference? The offering. The sacrifice. They offered sacrifices. And they offered them year by year and continually. But it never made those who brought them perfect. But he, by the sacrifice of himself, once in the end of the world, put away sin, and by that one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, bless his name. I could have titled this message this morning, A Perfect Atonement Equals Perfect Acceptance. A perfect sanctification makes perfect saints. A perfect priest makes a perfect people. A perfect Savior gives a perfect salvation. Any one of those titles would have been good. But you understand what I'm saying? Oh, but there was a time. There was a time. And I thank God that it's not that way anymore. When we never thought in terms like these. We never thought in terms of perfection. Never thought in terms of being completely and perfectly accepted of God. Of being perfect in the sight of God. Of being completely accepted in the sight of God. We always thought that we was pretty good, but by our efforts we could make ourselves better and more acceptable. And that's what religion does. Their end, their goal, is to eventually get good enough to be accepted of God. To eventually be accepted of God. But the Scriptures and the Gospel makes that the beginning. You got to start out being accepted. You got to start out being perfect. You don't strive to be better. You can't be any better than what you are in Christ. And so I'm thankful that we're not striving after that anymore. We're resting in Him. See, faith reveals to us a different position and a different view of ourselves before God than the view we have of ourselves. We're sinners in ourselves. We know that. We acknowledge that. That in this flesh dwells no good thing. But we also know by faith and by the Scriptures and by our own conscience, that in the sight of God, we're perfect in Him. We're accepted in Him. We're sinners in ourselves, but saints in God's sight. We're not under law. We're not under law. We're under grace. We're not under the curse, but we're living by the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ obtained for us. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's just not. And oh, let's see where we stand now before God. Let's look at some of these verses now. I read these 18 verses. I'm going to say a few things about all of them. But look here. This is how we got to this perfect standing before God. This perfect sanctification. Because verse 10 is my text. Verse 10 is what I really want to deal with. By the which will, Hebrews 10:10, by the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, by the which will, what is this will that sanctifies us? What is this will that makes us perfect? Well, back over here in verse 7, it says this. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. So this will, by the which will, what is this will? It's the ordained will of God. It's the eternal will of God. That's what it is from all eternity. This which will that we're sanctified by was the eternal will and decree of God that a people whom He chose in Christ before the foundation of the world should be sanctified and set apart for Himself. That's what this which will is. That's what this live, when Christ says, "Lo, I come to do thy will." What is that will? What is that will that sanctified us? What is that will that provided this offering? It's the eternal will of God. God's will has always been eternal. Why is it eternal? Because He's eternal. And it's immutable. Why is it immutable? Because He's immutable. Huh? That has no beginning. The will of God has no beginning. They say, well, the will of God starts here for you, or the will of God starts there. He's got a wonderful plan for you. Whatever God willed for you, He willed it from all eternity. Ain't that right? We didn't find out about it until we found out in the Scriptures about it. And He wills changes. God wills changes, but He never changes His will. You know, the will of God, He says this, that He does according to His will. In the armies of heaven, and listen now, Daniel 4:35, if you want to look at it, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And who can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Job 23:13 says that who can direct His spirit or direct His will or appoint His ways? Huh? Known under God are all His works from the creation. And I know you've seen this many times, but look at it with me in Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. The only way in the world, if you know, if we see it in the Scriptures, you know, the preacher can quote it, the preacher can say it, but boy, when you look at it with your own eyes, Isaiah 46 and verse 9, look at it with your own eyes, then you say, boy, that's what the Scripture says. That's what the Bible says. Huh? You know, there's no such thing, and there cannot be such a thing as a defeated will or purpose or pleasure of God. It can't be done. People say, you know, you can keep God from doing His will. You can change the will of God. I don't know how many times people have said that and how many times people believe that. Mary got an email. I was telling James about it. This woman sent her an email, you know, and had a picture of Mary and the prayer that the Catholics make to Mary, and says, now Mary's going from house to house, and if you let her in her house and send this on, she'll take away all of her troubles with her. Take away all your troubles with her. Mary wrote back, she says, oh, she can't take away any troubles. What troubles can she take away? Don't worry about picking up after a while. But the will of God is not going to be changed. If I could change the will of God, I'd change my own will if I could. I'd change my will and make it perfect submission to God if I could. I'd change my will and make it love God with all of it if I could. I can't even change my own will, but that's the will of God. Look here in Psalm, in Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Remember back when I parted the Red Sea. Remember back when I created the world. Remember back when I sent all those plagues down in Egypt. Remember back when they built that Tower of Babel and I confused them and I scattered them all over the world and I gave everybody a different language. Remember back. And watch this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do what? All my pleasure. That don't always sound like somebody can't do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, does it? And all, beloved, men rebel. Men hate His will, despise His will. But it don't change His will, does it? Men argue with His word, but it don't change His word. It don't change a thing. It does not. Whatever a man thinks about God, feels about God, has no effect upon God whatsoever. You know, even us believing on God, don't change God. Does it? But it certainly changed us. And all, beloved, His will is eternal. His will sustains the universe. and keeps the sun and the stars and on course and on the earth. He keeps everything revolving. The earth revolves. His will is the Alpha and the Omega of all things. And that's why he says, by the which will, here in Hebrews 2, by the which will we are sanctified. By the which will we're set apart. By the which will we've been sanctified. No wonder the scripture says, you know, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. Them he did predestinate, them he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. And the next verse says this, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? Oh, beloved. But now listen now. These chosen people. These people that were chosen. These people that were in the will of God. They were dead in sins. They were undefiled, under the curse. Fit to be set apart to the burning instead of set apart to the service of a thrice holy God. So how in the world, with this immutable, eternal will of God, be carried out to save these redeemed, to save these rebels, to redeem these rebels, to cleanse these filthy sinners? How can it be? Look what it says in verses 1 through 4. How can it be? For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, with those sacrifices, I don't care how many you bring, offered year by year continually, just over and over, they can never make the comers thereunto perfect. Bringing you sacrifice, bringing you works, bringing you effort, never make them perfect. Because if they had, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers who brought them sacrifices once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. If those sacrifices purged you from your sin, purged your conscience, you'd have no more conscience of sins. But oh, listen, but in those sacrifices, and there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every time they brought sacrifices, it told them, reminded them that they're sinners and they needed a sacrifice over and over and over. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Oh, but listen, his will wasn't fulfilled in those sacrifices. Wasn't fulfilled in those priests. Wasn't fulfilled in the blood of bulls and goats. Wasn't fulfilled in all those offerings that was ever offered. But the will by which we were sanctified was performed and accomplished by God's blessed Son. Look what it says in verse 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world. Who comes into the world? Oh, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God's will, eternal will be carried out by the Son. Lord, what you will, I'll do it. What you will, I'll do it. I, from all eternity, everything in your book says, I'll do your will. And oh, beloved, when He cometh into the world, He said, sacrifice and offerings. That never was your will to put away sin. So you prepared me upon it. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you never was satisfied with those. You told those saints, you told those people that these would never put away sins, but there would come one who would put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. You told it in Genesis chapter 2. You told it in Genesis chapter 3. You showed it over and over. You showed it by that Passover lamb. You showed it over and over and over again that you had somebody's going to put away sin. And all, beloved, then said I, oh my, I come in the volume of the book. And I tell you, not only this book, but there's a book over in Revelations that has seven seals on the back side and on the front side. That's the eternal will and eternal decrees of God, had every name in it, had every work in it, had everything that everybody ever done in it. And this was the eternal will of God, and there was only one found open and loose them seals. Who was that? It perfectly sealed. He perfectly opened it and accomplished it. And all, beloved, the will of the Father was that He should have a people sanctified unto Himself. But that will could not be carried out by the blood of bulls and goats. It could only be accomplished by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that's why He says above. Above when He said sacrifices. Looking back to what He said, He said, when I said this, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin. That was not your will. You never had satisfaction in it because they were offered by the law. Then said he, this is out of Psalm 40. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away that first, that law, that priesthood, that sacrifices, that tabernacle, everything under the law. He took it away. He took away the first Adam, brought in the last Adam. And that's by the which we were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Whatever the eternal will of God the Father required, our Lord Jesus Christ perfectly achieved it. Whatever was written in the volume of the book, the Lord Jesus Christ did it. Our Lord's life, His sufferings, and everything that made up His life and everything that made up His sufferings. That's it took every bit of it to make an atonement. Death ended His sufferings, and they ended ours. His death ended sin, and His death ended our sin. The once here, by the which will we are sanctified, verse 10, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once, God prepared Him a body that in once in that body, He could put away sin. Without the life, without that prepared body, you know, they set apart the lamb, you know, when the first, in the Passover, they said, set it apart for 14 days. Examine it. Look at it. Make sure there ain't no spots, no blemishes in it. I mean, you couldn't have a sacrifice that had a spot or a blemish in it. And they set it apart and examined it for 14 days. And so here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's prepared a body. And that body was prepared to be an offering. Just like a lamb had to be an offering. And God expected that and inspected it. And for 33 years and a half year, our Lord Jesus Christ, God's holy eye, looked at Him and examined Him. And the human race examined Him. The law examined Him. The holy angels examined Him. The Pharisees examined Him. Everything, the devil examined Him. And you know what they found out? He's perfect. And without the life, without that prepared body, the will of God would have never could have been carried out. Huh? But He says, I delight in the volume of the book, whatever that book said, and all the will that's in that book. He said, that's what I come to do. And so His death in and of itself would have been nothing. But because of the body, because of the life, because of the will of the Father, to finish, I mean, He finished by that glorious life laid down for His people. He put away sin once and for all. Does the law require perfect submission to the will of God for our acceptance? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ rendered it. Amen. Does it ask for complete obedience to its precepts? He obeyed. Does the fulfilled will of the Lord call for suffering? It does. It does. It called for a sacrifice for sin because man did not keep the law, but Christ did. Did it call for a sweat of His sweat to become drops of blood? It did. Did it cause it to call Him to have pain unknown, even death itself? The will of God do that? Our Lord says, whatever Your will is, I'll do it. I come to do it. So this once for all included all, whatever all may be. Well, whatever I'm to do in my body, whatever I'm to suffer in my body, whatever I'm to do in my body, I delight to do that, whatever that will is. If it's to be hated, despised, rejected, sufferings and sorrow, and just as God, by His created word, by His word, He created the world, and that word, when He spoke, it brought His will to pass. So when God sent His Son into this world, He carried out the will of God perfectly and completely. Huh? He looked at creation. God did. He said, it's good. But he looked upon the work of his Son and said, it's perfect. It's acceptable. It's complete. He said, in fact, it's finished. It's finished. You know, creation's not finished yet. It's not. This world's got a curse on it. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Yeah. We're not finished yet. Our standard's finished, but we're not finished. God's not finished with us yet. But I tell you what is finished. Salvation's finished. Sin being put away is finished. Our righteousness is finished. Our acceptance is finished. Oh, my. And the will of God for the sanctification of His people is accomplished. Now, listen to me. If Christ came and He did the will of God, by which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's why that body was prepared, that we could be sanctified, that it could be offered. This work of sanctification, this work of the will of God, this work of Christ carrying out the will, must be applied to us. How's it going to be applied to us? Well, there's only one way. The Holy Spirit has to do it. Look down here in verse 14. Hebrews 10:14. You see, He's the one who makes the will of God known. It says, for by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. He's the one that brought us the witness. He's the one who told us about this. Here we sat in services all our lives, went to church and heard preaching. I've done a lot of preaching, done a lot of jumping, done a lot of whooping, done a lot of hollering. Huh? And then the Holy Ghost came to me one day through preaching, through reading, through somebody telling about Christ and His complete salvation, His perfect salvation, Him in a body prepared for us, Him coming to do the eternal will of God. Somebody come along and told me that, and the Holy Ghost bore witness to my heart, bore witness to my mind, bore witness to my conscience. That's so! And all it goes on to say, for after this is what He showed us. This is what He taught us. This is the covenant that I will make after them with after those days, saith the Lord. What days? After the days of the law being abolished, after the days of Christ coming into this world. I'll put my laws into their hearts, not written on tablets of stone out here objective for us. He'll write the law in our hearts, a delight for it, a rejoicing in it. And in their minds I'll write them. And watch this. And He bore witness to this. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
Whoa! Every time they brought an offering, you brought, that just reminds you, you're a sinner. And you got to bring another one. And another one, and another. And He says, now I've got an offering that put an end to sin once and for all, and their sins and iniquities I won't remember them anymore. Now watch this. Now where remission or payment of these is, there's no more offering for sin. You don't need another offering. Don't have to bring another offering. He makes us to know it's finished. He takes the Old Testament and sheds light on the new for us. Huh? He takes away all hope for us ever being sanctified before God by any other means. He takes the things of Christ and shows them to us. And this is the will of the Father, carried out by the Son, brought and applied to us by the Holy Spirit. So we are sanctified before God and accepted of Him who is holy. Now let me tell you something, beloved. You hear people talk about sanctification all the time. And you know, saved, sanctified, and filled by the Holy Ghost. You'll have evidence of being sanctified by the evidence of speaking in tongues. You know, that you can be sanctified enough, and John Wesley taught this, and a lot of people still teach this. Wesleyan Holiness do. Some Nazarenes do. That you can actually live without sin in this world. That you can be perfect in the flesh. Well, I don't know how in that world that could be, you know. To be sanctified is a state of being.
Amen.
That's a state of being.
Amen.
Now, you know, all those priests, they came and they made offerings. And everything in that tabernacle was sanctified and set apart by God. They had bowls, they had snuffers, they had spoons, they had rakes. They had all these instruments in there. And everybody, when they went home, they had the same kind of instruments. They had bowls, they had spoons, they had snuffers, they had all the things that they had used in the tabernacle. They had a basin to wash in, and the tabernacle was a basin to wash in. Now, what made those in the tabernacle different than what those people had at home? God said, these are made for my use, and don't never use them for anything else. That's only made the difference. You couldn't bring one of your bowls in and use it in the sacrifice. And use it in the tabernacle. You know why you couldn't do that? Wasn't sanctified. God said, that's not mine.
That's right.
And you know what God says? This by the which will, and through the offering of the body, that body that God prepared him, by the eternal will of God, he hath perfected, he hath sanctified, set apart, once through that offering, for all time and all eternity, those that Christ offered himself for. You can't be no more holy than you are right now. Now you can grow in grace. And I mean, if you know how you know you're growing more in grace? You're more sinful than you ever was. You're weaker than you ever was. You feel your necessity of Christ more and more and more. Ain't that right? That's how you know you're growing in grace. Not because you're getting better. You're getting worse. In your own estimation. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you think that's right? Everybody else, they start getting better. They start looking above everybody. And they start looking down on everybody. And everybody's sin aggravates them. But their own sin. Because they live so good that everybody else's sin aggravates them. The blood of my sin aggravates me. I'm the one that's a mess. And so that shows me. And that's what, you know, anybody's getting any better in this world, more power to them. All right, look here now. Let's look at this effectual sacrifice right quick. Back over here in Hebrews 10. Verse 10. By the which will, that eternal will of God, by the will of God, we're sanctified. Now watch this. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is sexual, effectual sacrifice. The will of God is what gave us this sacrifice. The eternal God here became incarnate. Our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was prepared a body, yet He was God in that body.
Amen.
But how we need His humanity. How we need His humanity. When we have seen by the Holy Ghost that our Lord Jesus Christ became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, and we realize He's our near kinsman, that He identified with us so that He could offer Himself a sacrifice. You talk about making you want to draw near to Him and embrace Him and submit to Him and love Him. Here it talks about the offering of the body of Christ. Why does it do that? The offering of the body of Christ. It shows us the reality of this offering. The reality of it. His soul suffered in His body. Everything about Him in that offering. Whatever His body was. That body was the offering. It means the whole of our Lord Jesus Christ. When His body was offered, His soul. You know, if your body's offered, everything that's in that body, your mind, your will, your affections, your soul, your emotions, everything about you, that's what's offered also. It's you. It's our Lord in general. All that constitutes all of a person, His body, was all of Himself. That's what He offered here. The whole of our Lord Jesus Christ was made a sacrifice for sin. The whole of Him was. Everything that, when He hung on that cross, His body was there. That He was in His humanity. That's the body prepared for Him. But what was in that body? Soul, spirit, heart, emotions, affections, the ability to suffer, the ability to cry, the ability to feel. And it was the offering, not the Spirit of Christ, but the body. The personality and all that made up our Lord Jesus Christ, that was what was offered. And it was completely offered. The whole offering. Oh, here's what I, you know, this just astounds me that whatever made up our Lord Jesus Christ, look at us, look what makes up us as people. Look what all makes us up as people. But whatever it took to make Christ a person in His humanity, in His will, everything that made Him a person, that made Him what He was, that's what was offered. His soul was made an offering for sin. His personality, and all that it was, sinless, was what was offered. And oh my, what was it offered for? To sanctify God's people. To sanctify them. And if it's going to sanctify us, it has to be completely offered. And that sacrifices under the law, some of them were presented in part. You know, that when they'd offer sacrifice, they'd offer part of that sacrifice, and the high priest would get part of it to take home and eat. Sometimes the person who offered would get some of it. He'd take it home and eat it. But our Lord Jesus Christ, God got the whole offering. Not only did God get the whole offering, but we got the whole offering.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Huh? But as our sin offering, our Lord offered up a whole offering to God. The Father got it all. He got all of its benefits. And it provided us a perfect salvation. He bore all that could be borne before God. When He was on that cross, they said He saved others. But Himself He could not save. He bore our chastisement in order that we wouldn't have to bear chastisement. He gave Himself up without any reserve. And He says, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Now, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And look what else about this offering. It's effectual. It's the body of Christ. And this offering was made only once. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Once for all. Once for all. Ah. Not, this don't mean for every man in the world. Don't mean for every person in the world. Don't mean for all the world. It means all at once or only once. Once for everything that was required, what it means. Once for all for whom it was offered. He offered Him a sacrifice once for all and only once. And God says that's the end of the matter. His sacrifice for His people was for all of our sins before He ever came into this world.
Amen.
It was for all of my sins before I ever came into this world. Huh? Ain't that what it says there in verse 4? Look what it says. He says, not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Huh? Oh my. You imagine how many sins there were before Christ came into this world that were committed. How many were committed? Imagine how many they were. Age upon age, generation upon generation. And Isaiah says, this about us, all we like sheep have gone astray. But he also said, the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all sin, for all time, for all requirements, for all that God needed and required. All the sins of God's people were met there and were consumed. And He did this once for all. And all, beloved, here He stands before this cross. And He offers His body. He stands beneath this load of sin. Sin greater than the world can ever imagine. There's nothing that we can compare to the magnitude of sin. What could you compare to the magnitude of your sin? That they overwhelm you sometimes. Well, whatever it was, that's what Christ offered His body for. And He stands beneath that load of sin. He bows under it till bloody sweat begins to pour. He doesn't try to get away from it, from the burden of it. Instead, He says, "I delight to do Thy will, O God. I come in the volume of the book it's written of me. I delight to do Thy will." It weighs so great upon Him till He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Then He raises that glorious, blessed, holy head and flings the weight away and cries, "It's finished! The weight's gone off of Him. The sin is gone. And it's gone once, and once for all. It's no more on Him, and it's no more on them for whom He offered Himself." Ain't that what it says there in verse 17? Hebrews 10. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." The Redeemer offered Himself to death. Never had done it before. But He did it this time, and He'll never ever do it again. It's once for all. And why will it never be done again? "Because their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sins." Why will it never be done again? Sin's gone. All the sin laid upon Him's gone. Everything that was against His people's gone. He took the cup, the dregs, drank it dry. Not a drop left for His people. Never have to face God for one sin. Never have to face God being unsanctified. Never have to face God without fear of being accepted. It's finished once and for all. He bore on the tree the sentence for me. And now both the surety and the sinner are free. In the heavenly Lamb thrice happy I am. And my heart doeth rejoice at the sound of His name. And so the result is this: by the which will we are sanctified. Ain't that what it says? Look what it says there in verse 14. "By the which will we are sanctified. For by one offering He hath sanctified." Now what is this? "For by one offering He hath perfected." Since the offering was once and for all. The will was once and for all. The body was once and for all. The death was once and for all. The sin put away was once and for all. So by this one offering, He hath perfected.
Yes.
For how long? Forever is a long time. People say all the time, "I'll never ever do that again." Never is a long time. But here it's true. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. God regards us as sanctified people. Why? Because there's no sin against us. Why can't He remember them? He can't remember something that don't exist. Oh, we're purified. We're cleansed. We stand before God. Perfect. Accepted. Sanctified. Now, why in the world wouldn't anybody rejoice in that? Everything here talks about what Christ done. Everything under the law done nothing for nobody. Done nothing for nobody. If it could have, it would still be in existence. Huh? But it never did. Not one priest, and not one sacrifice that was ever offered, ever put away one sin. Not one sacrifice that any human being has ever made ever put away one sin. Not any amount of money anybody's ever gave has ever made them acceptable to God. One thing makes us acceptable to God. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And He, by this one offering, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by Him. That's a long time. Amen. Our Father, our precious Father, our gracious God in heaven, thank You for the gospel. Thank You for the truth as it is in Christ. I pray that You would bless the word today to the hearts, to the understanding, that You would press upon hearts and minds what our Lord did for us, how the sacrifice is perfect, how it's complete, how it makes us complete, how it makes us perfect, so that we can look outside ourselves, never rest in ourselves, never find any hope in ourselves, but find all of our hope, all of our salvation, all of our perfection in Christ, who He is, and what He did for us. Oh, we bless You for Him. Bless You for this great, glorious, perfect salvation. God bless it to our understanding. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Oh, let's sing this chorus. That's all right. Let's sing this chorus. Turn your